download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And joining us right now on the phone line is none other than the governor of our fine Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. Governor, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
We're doing pretty good. Yourself these days?
I'm doing fine. I'm on my way down to Plymouth. I'm going to go visit with some of the folks who worked very hard on my campaign last year. We made a decision to try and get out at some point. And literally, you know, no agenda, no strings, just say thanks to a lot of the people who put in literally thousands of hours on behalf of our campaign. And now the snow's melted, the budget's done, and we can sort of, you know, the summer's almost over here. We just wanted to get around and see a few people, and tonight it's Plymouth's turn.
I will say, I'm definitely very impressed. Every time I turn around, you are finding your way around the Commonwealth. I think recently I saw you down in New Bedford, down in Keiko Oral's territory. I think you were hanging out at one of the festivals and greeting folks and saying hello.
That is one of the best. I was down at the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. My wife and I have gone to that event just as private citizens 5 or 6 times. It is a blast.
It is.
If you're a listening audience that hasn't been, you should put it on the calendar for next year. That's about as much fun. The food's amazing. The entertainment is great. The vibe is terrific. Now, we don't stay late, right? So we're out of there by like 10 o'clock or so. They had a band down there Friday night this year. It was a Journey tribute band.
Wow.
You would have swore you were listening to Steve Perry. It was amazing.
Well, these days, I think, doesn't Journey have a different front man? And it's not Steve Perry. It's a younger guy who is like a fan, right?
That's exactly right. It's the, was a rock star, the movie that Mark Wahlberg
yep.
was in, where he became the lead singer in a heavy metal band,
yep.
which was a takeoff from what Judas Priest, wasn't it, that
yep.
replaced their lead singer with a fan and didn't skip a beat?
That's correct.
And what else on Jeopardy tonight, Kevin, can I do for you?
That's fantastic. Well, let's kind of get down to a couple of things that you've been busy doing in regards to the Commonwealth. I think seeing that we're here in Marshfield, I mean, this is an area that a lot of folks take the fishing industry really, really seriously. And I know that your administration takes it seriously. And one of the things that your administration did was to send out a letter. Kind of talk to the listeners as to the letter and what you're actually asking the federal government to do as far as seeking any relief.
You know, this is really a great, great issue. The in terms of something we should be pointing out and promoting, it's a bad issue for the fishing industry. And I think it reflects horribly on the federal government, but it's a good issue to bring up, and I'm glad you brought it up, Kevin. For your listeners, the federal government puts observers on fishing boats, and those observers go on fishing boats to determine that people aren't violating their catch requirements when they're out fishing, and also to determine, you know, what the size of the stocks look like and all the rest. And we can debate it another time whether or not this is a particularly
sure.
useful way of figuring out what's really going on with fishing stocks. Elizabeth Warren and I don't agree on a lot, but we agree that this particular sampling process is rife with problems. But that aside, you can't take your boat out unless you got an observer on it. And the federal government has told the fishing community that they will be paying for the opportunity to have these observers on their boats. That was their way of choosing to fund this program this year. And in addition to just being sort of insult to injury to an industry that's been beat up pretty badly by the federal government on what I would argue is at least arguable science, if not worse, to have the MOLA, which is the federal agency, turn around and say, by the way, we're also going to charge you for the observers that we put on your boat. It's like the ultimate unfunded mandate. And even NOAA would admit that their own analysis indicates that the industry is in so much trouble that if you make the boats pay for those observers when they go out, the likelihood that they will be able to actually even break even when they're out there is pretty thin. And so we were horribly concerned about this. We raised it with Senators Warren and Markey, as well as several members of the delegation who care about fishing, Congressman Seth Moulton, Congressman Bill Keating, and several others. And literally everybody signed on to a letter to Secretary of Commerce Penny Pritzker, who oversees NOAA, saying this is a really bad idea and you need to come up with a different approach. And we're going to continue to press this issue with the folks in Congress and the folks in the White House and the folks at Commerce, because it's like I said, it's insult to injury to an industry that's got all kinds of issues to begin with.
Governor Baker, this is Ryan Stanton. Are there any ideas of alternatives at this moment? I mean, instead of, you know, of course, putting a physical person on board?
Well, my own view is if the feds want to put somebody on board, they should pay for it. But we have never, as a country, been particularly aggressive about using sonar technology or other surveillance technology that exists and is available out there. We've never really asked the industry to help the feds figure out a smarter and better way to do this. And we actually engaged conversations with the feds to try to see if we could encourage them to work more closely with the fishing industry around some of the work done on what's going on with the fishing stocks, particularly in the Gulf of Maine, which is a gigantic body of water that's really important to ground fishermen and to others. And there's just a lot of opportunity here to think differently about this, but you need the feds to basically decide that they want to be collaborators and seekers of truth, as opposed to what they feel like now, which is just, you know, enforcers and regulators behaving in a way that I would describe as sort of very small-minded, and in many cases, I think, based on really bad data.
And this is on top of, you know, imposing some of the catch limits that we have seen when it comes to, you know, the fishing industry. I mean, as it is, it's hard enough to go out there and earn a living. Never mind now you're going to have an observer that you will have to pay for in order to...
And on many boats, it's going to translate into if you go out, you lose money.
Right.
So help me understand why that's a good idea.
Now, any thought as to this, if there might be hearings down in Washington on this, or is it just a matter of seeing where the letter will go?
Well, we're going to talk some more with our delegation about this and see if we can't take this up with some of the Northeast Fishing Council and a few other bodies like that. Eventually, we got to get in front of NOAA, which is again the NOAA, which is the federal entity that oversees all this. We got to get in front of them and have the conversation with them.
Okay. Yeah, we are speaking with Governor Charlie Baker and talking about some of the recent issues and things that we've seen in the news. I guess I want to kind of shift gears and talk a little bit about a report that we got. Now, we know that Boston will not be seeking the 2024 Olympic Games bid, but there was a report that was released last week. Give me your thoughts. This seems like this was something that there was a kind of a unity between yourself, the Senate President, and the Speaker of the House in regards to the analysis that was done by the Brattle Group.
So the Brattle Group was hired by myself, Senate President, and the House Speaker to provide us with an independent risk assessment of what the Commonwealth and the taxpayers of the Commonwealth might be on the hook for with respect to the 2024 Olympics. And you know, we didn't hire them to answer every question about everything, but what we said to them is, look, Boston 2024 is going to come up with a plan. Take a look at the plan. Tell us, based on that and on other information you receive from the International Olympic Committee and the U.S. Olympic Committee, and there's a lot of it, all right? There are guarantees around performance and commitments of one sort or another that you have to make those games that add up to real money. Figure out what the Commonwealth exposure might be, you know, because this is a big initiative. It's a 10-year project. It's a ton of work, a ton of focus, a ton of time spent on this instead of on something else. You know, what's the picture look like here? And they came back. We hired them in March or April. I think it was March. And they told us they would have a report done for us, a preliminary report done by July and a final report done by August. We didn't get from Boston 2024 kind of their second their second version, version 2.0 of their proposal, until the end of June.
Right.
So instead of doing an interim report, we just told them, do a final. Okay, so they got a final report done in August, like they said they would. Of course, it came, you know, about 10 days after the Boston 2024 and the USOC folks agreed to walk away from the Olympic proposal from Boston. So to some extent, it's not as pertinent or relevant as it might have been otherwise. But the report did raise some significant concerns about what the taxpayers in Massachusetts might be on the hook for if the Olympics were to come here in 2024. And, you know, people can debate pluses and minuses of a multi-billion dollar initiative that's 10 years away. But some of the, you know, one of the most important things I would say to you and your listeners about this is one of the points this thing makes is that figuring out what's reasonable and adequate public transportation, what's a reasonable and adequate way of moving around, moving athletes and other invited guests around from one venue to the next, you know, all that stuff, which adds up to real money, okay? Those decisions all get made by the International Olympic Committee, who has absolutely no skin in the game financially. I really think one of the big problems with the way, as I've learned, if I've watched this play out, learned about how it works, one of the big problems with the whole way the Olympics are approached and why we always end up with these monstrous cost overruns from one city to another is in the end, the IOC makes most of the big decisions, and the folks who pay for those big decisions are the local cities and states and countries that are hosting the Olympics. Now, it doesn't take that much to realize that if some third party that isn't on the hook to determine how you actually pay for something gets to make a lot of the decisions about when is enough enough when it comes to building facilities and infrastructure and all the rest, it shouldn't be that surprising you end up with cost overruns, right?
Yeah, if anything, I think it's a lesson learned. And I think that it was good that at least we had this follow-up report to kind of see where things kind of eventually would have, you know, what we would have might have seen if this came to fruition. You saw that there'd be cost overruns and that there'd be issues that would need to have been dealt with that we didn't see until, like you said, June. That's when we saw, you know, information as to what it was going to cost and what it was going to take.
Well, the other thing I'd point out, Kevin, just as a quick sidebar of this.
Sure.
The auditor of Hamburg, Germany, okay, which is sort of like the equivalent, I guess, of their, you know, fiscal control board or whatever,
Just
issued a report on Hamburg, Germany, hosting the Olympics in 2024 that raises a bunch of issues about things they think the city of Hamburg may have underestimated with their analysis.
Oh my.
So, I think this is, I think Boston's a great city. It would have been awesome if we could have figured out a way to make this happen. But given the size of the exposure that was involved, the time frames and all the rest, I think everybody probably made the right decision.
I definitely agree. I mean, it would have been cool to see, you know, it come to fruition and to see the world come here, that Boston would be the place for the world to visit and have these games. But, you know, again, you have to look at it fiscally. You got to be responsible when it comes to fiscal matters of the Commonwealth. And last thing we'd want to do is have ourselves yet another big dig type of a situation where billions of dollars are spent and we're all sitting here going, hey, where is it?
And by the way, guys, people do come here, okay?
They do.
I mean, the Department of Commerce just issued a report that said Boston and Massachusetts collected the seventh largest collection of international travel visitors of any state in the country last year.
Wow.
And we finished seventh. This isn't per capita. This is total travelers, international travelers, right? We finished behind Florida, California and Texas, all of which are way bigger than we are and have much better weather.
Yep.
Hawaii, which obviously has much better weather. Nevada, which has something none of the rest of us have. And New York, okay, which is, a huge metropolitan center in New York City. We basically, in the grand scheme of things, we had more visitors than every international travel visitors than every other state in the country except those. And I just think that speaks to the fact that we're already an international destination. We've added like 30 direct flights internationally over the course of the past few years in and out of Logan. I think we're doing just fine.
Governor, to kind of wrap things up, and we definitely appreciate always having you on from time to time to talk about issues that are going on.
Happy to be with you.
Absolutely. Well, I want to say is just, I wanted to kind of give you a thumbs up for your work up on Beacon Hill not too long ago, as you were able to gather some of the members up at the State House. And I think you were donning a free Tom Brady T-shirt to take place in the to take part in the second annual ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
I don't, have you guys ever talked to the Brady's family, Pete Brady's family?
We're kind of thinking about doing that down the road.
Well, they're really special, and Pete was a fabulous baseball player at Boston College, and a guy with legitimate pro prospect who contracted ALS at a very young age.
Yeah.
He's married, he has a small child, and his family basically said, and he said, we're not going to let this get in our way, we're not going to let it get us down, and they created, and he created the Ice Bucket Challenge, which they raised $150 million
fantastic
worldwide for ALS research last year, for an organization that typically raised about $4 million a year. I mean, it was game-changing for scientists and researchers with respect to ALS. And Pete and his family started the second round. I saw a story about it. And, they did the first one at Fenway Park
yep.
with the Red Sox. And I said, you know what? We should do this. So, you know, the state treasurer, Jeff Goldberg, the state auditor, Suzanne Pump, Stan Rosenberg, Senate president, a whole bunch of members of the legislature, everybody in my cabinet, and then just a whole bunch of other people came out on the steps of the State House 2 Mondays ago to take the Ice Bucket Challenge. Probably 300 people out there. We got great coverage and visibility for the cause and for Pete and his family. And as you point out, I was wearing a Free Brady T-shirt, which, based on everything I'd seen and read about the goings-on in New York, at this point, you know, I'm kind of done being Mr. Neutral on this one. It's pretty clear that I think our guy is getting jammed.
Well, we'll definitely have to pay attention to that, and we definitely will see what happens down in New York, because I believe sometime this week, is it this Wednesday, that we're going to hear something from Judge Berman?
Yeah, I think it's this week, although you know, these things have a funny way of not exactly going the way you expect them to go.
True. And I will say, Jimmy G doesn't look too bad. He looked pretty good this past weekend against New Orleans. So
he looked great.
Yeah.
He looked great. Although you got to remember, it's very hard to figure out who the first team is in these exhibition games.
That's true.
And what everybody else is trying to do.
Yeah. Well, because they get a vanilla.
Yeah, he did. He did look great, which for all of us Patriots fans was a really good thing.
Governor, we want to thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you a safe and happy Labor Day, which is coming up shortly, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great, Kevin. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Governor Charlie Baker, joining us here on Monday Night Talk, and we're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.